Welcome to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man Up.
And welcome, everybody. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men, podcast number 208. Hard to believe. And we're glad you're here. And where is here? Here is Sugarland, Texas. So grab a globe, spin it around. Berg! Not sure where you ended up, but spin it around, find Texas. Southeast side of Texas is Houston. Southwest side of Houston is Sugarland. And that is where we are at. We are at the Man Up studio at Sugarland Baptist Church. We're on this No Church Answers Tour. Not pastors, we're just regular guys. And each of us are on our own spiritual journey. We feel all men are leaders. Leaders of your family, leaders at work, leaders in your church and community. But sometimes that lead dog needs to be fed and spiritually recharged. And that's why we're here. So whether you found us on Facebook or SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts, Apple Podcast, our website at man-upspiritualoasis.com or pray.com. We're so glad that you're joining us. What we do here is we go over a ABF, Adult Bible Fellowship, or a Sunday school lesson, have a brief overview, read some scripture, unpeel it like an onion, update it, give it a man spin. And we do it with some great guys here. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our panel. We have a real lightning rod of a topic that we're going to be doing this week.
Hey, it can't be one.
Well, to some people, though. So man, I'm going to start out with, he's a world-class policy writer, a bit of a professional gambler. He is our producer. That's Mr. Steve Titch.
Hey,
Steve.
Hey.
Attorney and prosecutor, former prosecutor. We call him the judge. Michael Cropper. Hey, Mike. Corporate trainer with a Fortune 100, not a pansy, Fortune 500 company, kind of a group theologian. We call him the professor, Robert Koshu.
Hey, Robert.
Insurance broker and deacon. I parked right behind him in the Man Up Park Studio parking lot. he's from Louisiana. We don't hold that against him. Kyle Trahan. Hey, Kyle. And my name is Bill Cox. I'm basically a contractor, bit of a writer, actor, and director of this group. So I'm the one that tries to keep everything in order or contain. Pretty hard to do with this group. So, and with that, we're going to go ahead and we use different publications. We're in the Connect 360. This is the Study of Mark. It's by Baptist Way Press. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and get an overview of this week's lesson. Start with our producer, Mr. Steve Titch.
We're going to talk about the Sabbath. We've been looking at lessons starting really last week and this week and next week that go into maybe the tension between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. This, again, is one of those examples involving the apostles and the disciples gleaning, I guess is the right word. That's where the word gleaning comes from, where under Jewish law, farmers were required to leave the wheat berries on the wheat along the edge of their property, along the edge of their road, so travelers and poor could pick the wheat berries as they're going on their way. And that's what the apostles are doing here, except it's the Sabbath day. And even these little bits of picking wheat is considered work, harvesting. Here begins a discussion of what do we mean by a day of rest? And what did that commandment of remember the Lord's day and keep it holy really mean?
Excellent. Professor Koshu.
So, interestingly enough, we covered this in our commandment series, Exodus 28-11, podcast 123. So I was listening to it as part of my show prep and couldn't remember what I had said about it. Because I was just, you know, I want to try to find something unique and different. I'm in great shape because I'm guessing we were having a talent development conference or something because I wasn't here.
Oh, nice.
So,
nice.
So everything I say is going to be new.
Right. But he's going to copy what everybody else says.
Yeah, does. Pretty much. This is an interesting concept. And I'm going to throw out, especially right now, because like a lot of other people, I've been working from home. Well, until the last several weeks. But for over a year, I worked at home. And what I have discovered is I like the ability to work from home. I don't want to work from home every day as part of my normal job. I need that separation. Because I found out instead of starting work at 6 or 6:30, you know, because I drove to the office, I was just logging in at 5. Oh, instead of knocking off at 4 or 4:30 because I had to drive home and do whatever, I was working until 6:30. Oh, it's Saturday. Let me log in and check some stuff real quick because everything was all set up. And you find that things are there and our society has pushed us to be engaged more and more and more. There's a lot of research right now, actually, about company cell phones and getting emails from your boss on Saturday and Sunday and people wanting to respond to them. And the necessity of having that day off that's been decreed for not only spiritual purposes, but just physical, oh my gosh, you need to unplug a little bit, is really important. And that's part of what goes on here. The other thing is, I think the Pharisees were just those guys, like you said, they're following Jesus around going, see, told you, his disciples are doing their best to, you know. They're just following around doing what they want to do, basically.
Excellent. Michael Cropper.
Yeah. Folks, the last two lessons we've looked at, again, like Steve mentioned, that this lesson, the last lesson that's been coming, are going to be some confrontation with the Pharisees. But the Pharisees ask Jesus questions, and they think they are very valid questions. They think that they are very legal. They think that they are very authoritative. And they think they can catch him in some type of act or thought process that they can make fun of him on, or they can find that he's violating Mosaic law. Anyway, two lessons back, Jesus calls Levi or Matthew to be a disciple. His choices and answers are different, like I said, than what the Pharisees believe. Okay, so Jesus calls a tax collector to be a disciple. I found it amusing because it must be excruciatingly painful for the Pharisees when they find out that Jesus has called Matthew to follow him, but they do not ask Jesus why he called a tax collector. Instead, they ask his disciples. They don't confront Jesus, right? And Steve is talking about that. We're all talking about this because he can inflict pain on with his answers. He catches them off guard, and today's text is no different. Now, the last lesson is on fasting, and some people approach Jesus. We figure out one of the gospel says it was Pharisees, and we see they approach Jesus, and they ask him. They say, "We fast. The disciples of John the Baptist fast. Why don't your disciples fast?" In other words, we have to fast. Why don't your disciples have to suffer too? Anyway. So Jesus answers again with references from the Old Testament. He says, "The guests do not fast while the bridegroom is with them." And notice he used the term bridegroom, which infers a connection between Jesus and God, because God referred to the Jewish people in the Old Testament as his bride. So, and the second part of that, which Jesus illustrates, which confuses the heck out of him, he says, he introduces a new covenant, which is the reason he came and why God is. Him. And he said, "You cannot patch an old garment with new cloth, and you cannot pour new wine into an old wineskin." So today's lesson, though, let's go to that for just a second. As Steve had mentioned, the disciples are passing through a field on the Sabbath, and they pick some of the grain and they rub together and they eat it because they're hungry. Now, ordinarily, this is not a sin, because Leviticus said that you can go and you can pick some grapes or food from a field if you're hungry, and that's not illegal, but this is the Sabbath. So the Pharisees think they have Jesus really down cold. I'm looking forward to today's podcast discussion of it. It's going to raise some interesting questions, and of course we want to try to figure out how to apply it to today's standards. And that is simply, what is work on the Sabbath? The reason the Pharisees were so mad at Jesus' disciples for picking the grain and harvesting it and eating it was because they were working. All right, Bill.
Excellent. Caltrian.
You know, I've listened to a bunch of our podcasts, and I've heard Bill say that he's going to be able to cop out because he's the last one to go. I feel like I keep getting set up here. I should, like, go first, and then I'm going to make the rest of everybody look good, and Bill, you'll just wrap them up at the end, right? That'll be set up in the, you know, the finish there. It'll be perfect. You know, work on Sunday has a different meaning for us a lot of times in our culture and our society. I worked retail for many years. I was a manager. And when the store is busy, guess where they expect you to be? In the store.
On the floor, yeah.
On the floor. You're making sure everything gets done. You know, you're trying to train your people how to navigate the madness in a busy, busy store. And for a long time, I still had to find rest. Your body still had to not shut down, but you still had to unplug. Somebody said that a minute ago. And however that is for yourself, whether that's just, you know, getting in the garden or, you know, getting to church, of course, we do on Sundays now. You know, but whatever that is that recenters yourself. Bill, you said it, that you go to church on Sunday because, you know, it recharges you and it recenters you, and it lasts for about 7 days. So you got to keep re-upping each time. But that's the whole principle of that. Keeping the Sabbath holy. It's giving the reverence to God, but it's also finding the way to recharge your soul, your mind, your body, so that we can carry on the next day. Something that Mike said, and I want to say it before I forget here, that the Pharisees stopped asking Jesus, or weren't asking Jesus, and they were asking his disciples. But if you remember, Jesus knew what they were thinking anyway. So they just fought it. And he would call them out. So they figure, well, he's going to get it anyway. So even if I'm in the back of the room going, hey, what do you think? He's still going to know. You know. So I think they figured that out. And so they figured they were just asking the disciples. And Jesus would speak in when he wanted anyway. So
he's going to win anyway.
That too.
Excellent. And before I go ahead and read the scripture, just a couple of things that I wanted to point out. I think for my interpretation, going over this lesson and applying it to, you know, bring it to today's time. Like Kyle, I've worked weekends too, but you have to. I think it's about taking time for corporate worship with other people. And that's why, for example, we tape the podcast on Wednesday night. And there's a lot going on Wednesday night. And that's to get people together. And I think also giving another time slot. But a faith walk, keeping the Sabbath holy is only part of it. It is only part of the equation. And one other point that, as a agriculture thing that I wanted to point out, what they're gleaning from is called the end rows. And the end rows are the least productive part of the field when you're farming. Because what you do is you bring your equipment in, for example, your planter, and say it's an 8-row or 16-row or whatever. It takes room to turn that around and then get it set right so the rows are perfectly parallel. that area that you turn around, you plant at the very end. It's the last row, and so that's called the end rows. It's over the top. And the thing about it is, you run over that area when you use a sprayer, when you use a cultivator, every time you turn around, when you do something with that field. So more often than not, those plants are stunted, those plants are smashed or whatever. Yeah. So it is the least productive. And now you may run a combine through it, but the plants may have grown low to the ground, so it may not get picked anyway. So to a certain extent, because what they do is they call it like volunteer corn or volunteer wheat or whatever. That is when the grain is not picked, it falls back in the ground, and then it germinates. But it doesn't germinate in a row. So we call it volunteer. It volunteered for the next duty. But it is not as productive.
Right.
So in a way, those people help the farmers by gleaning. Okay? Just to throw that out there.
Gentlemen, agricultural lessons from
right.
Things I didn't know.
Right. Right. That's
all the terminology. I mean, that's actually really a wonderful addition because, I mean, I knew some of that growing up where I did in Louisiana. And, I mean, right on the side of us was soybean and corn and wheat. But I never had that explanation from, like, a farmer to understand.
So, and yeah, but that's actually farming pretty much junior level, though. So that's not Ag 101. That's 301. So, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. This is Mark 2, 23 through 28. And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he also gave it to those who were with him." Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." I just wanted to chime one more thing in. I think it was Professor was talking about how the Pharisees remind me of the cancel culture nowadays. They don't do anything, but they criticize everything. And the Twitter crowd, you know, do nothing, criticize everything. And I just wanted to go ahead and throw that out
there. And it's funny because here's the deal. So Exodus 20, 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for you are to labor 6 days and do all your work. The seventh day is Sabbath to you, the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy." So that's the command.
And somehow we've gotten from there.
Oh, to by the time we're talking here, they've written the Mishnah, which is oral tradition.
All the rules.
Which has 39 different things that are prohibited. And the easiest way I can say it is, so our youth minister, our amazing new youth minister, I'm just going to say it there, he went up. And on Sunday, they were having a pole party for our church. And all he did was to say, "Guys, girls, you know what modest is for a church swim party. I don't want to take it any further than that." And that's all he said. It wasn't, "Girls, you can't wear a two-piece, mm-hmm. guys, you can't wear a Speedo, and if you do, you got to wear a dart." We didn't go into all that. It was quite simply, here is the expectation, and go with it.
And that is much more mature I mean, aside from, it's all about parenting. You set expectations.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to lay down individual rules. In fact, that leaves a lot. That makes for an overly dependent child.
Yeah. Convoluted.
But I was going to say what we have here, though, is I love the way Jesus goes right to Scripture. He makes a very pointed.
He quoted a previous lawsuit. I can hear my
He goes to the quote, but it's far more dramatic. He said, there's a lot of significance to him using the illustration of David, but he did not try to rewrite the Mishnah.
Yeah.
He said, hey, you look into Scripture and you know, if we went by your standards, David would be sinned, but he was hungry and he didn't just glean from the countryside.
Oh, no, he went and got the bread.
Yes.
Yeah,
whoa. Which really, I mean, you know, it's just, you can imagine being a Pharisee and just being reminded of that. And that's there we see a little bit again of both the humor and radicalism of Jesus, but really what he's going into is that the Mishnah is all man-made. The idea of keeping the Sabbath holy, there's a lot more to that than simply obeying a list of rules. And I like the way you brought up a time for worship, Bill did, but also a time for rest and a time to just step back. And in this day and age, it can't always be Sunday. I mean, again, we can look at, well, we got to stop everything on Sunday as being legalistic. If you're taking a day of rest, I think in many ways you are at least trying out the spirit of this commandment. You want to go to a break, right?
That's it. And with that, we're going to go ahead and we are going to take a break. This is the first break, Man Up, podcast number 208. We will be right back.
The Man Up podcast, No Church Answers Tour, is going live. That's right. The gambler, the professor, the judge, the deacon, and me, Bill Cox, the director, will record a podcast with a live audience Saturday, June 19th at 10 a.m. up on the third floor at Sugarland Baptist Church in Sugarland. For our listeners in the Houston area, this is an awesome way to begin your Father's Day weekend. So come on down, meet the fellas, and be part of the show. Admission is free, so be sure to get here early. We've got a special Bible study plan, and there will even be some audience participation. And yes, the show will post a few weeks later in our regular feed. So that's the Man Up Spiritual Oasis live podcast recording, 10 a.m., Saturday, June 19th at Sugarland Baptist Church. The exact address is 16755 Southwest Freeway, approximately. That's Highway 59 and Sweetwater Boulevard, Sugarland, Texas. Hope to see you there.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Man Up Spiritual Oasis for Men, podcast number 208. Wow. And what we're talking about is this particular lesson is from Mark and keeping the Sabbath holy. And a couple of other points that I just wanted to throw out, and the flip side. As many of you know, I had went through the last few months, multiple surgeries, at times laying in bed. I look at this particular scripture as get busy. Get busy for 6 days and then have a reason to take a rest. Because I can tell you, when I was laying flat on my back recovering, nothing I wanted to do more than to get busy, and nothing I wanted to do less than was to rest. I have already rested many, many days. And I think, looking at this particular scripture, I remember it vividly. Someone saying, it's Sunday, take a day off. I just took off Monday through Saturday. I have done nothing. Time is valuable.
I'm going to let the others speak on this, but I'm going to lay out my counter move on that.
Okay.
But I preface by saying I appreciate where you're coming from. There's nothing worse than sitting around doing nothing. And you're the exception here in this case. But I think...
Yeah, the rest of us don't want to work.
I think if you know, we talk about idols in our society, and often in church we hear, oh, there's money, there's sex. I think the biggest idol in the American culture is productivity. And from pretty much birth and from kindergartenhood, you are being indoctrinated about you've got to be spending your time productively. You've got to be learning something. You can't be slacking off. And
correct.
And the Sabbath, I'm going to go radical here and say the Sabbath is permission to slack off.
Yeah.
Hey, there ain't nothing better than a Sunday afternoon nap. There, or as my wife says it, I'm
that you've quotes, earned. That
well,
you've
I,
earned.
I in air quotes.
No, wait.
Watch football in my recliner.
You see, Bill. I'm gonna say right there. This idea that your downtime has to be earned. That's the, dare I say it, the Protestant work ethic at work, which. I'm going to also say the Protestant work ethic is that productivity idolatry molded in to our church culture. So no, I would disagree. You don't have to earn your downtime. You can actually rest from all the problems or worries you've got. But I don't believe that. Just like I don't believe you earn your way into heaven, you don't earn the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift from God. And you've got to learn to be able to appreciate it. That's what we Americans don't understand. We got to learn to relax. Like I said, remember, we work at our play.
Well,
yes.
Go ahead. I'm taking the
mission of which you mentioned, the 39 rules, which are defined as work, or work is defined in 39 ways in the mission, right? And I was looking at their introduction to it. And the thought, what is behind the Sabbath and why we shouldn't work on the Sabbath is remember God said that we would work 6 days, right, and rest the seventh. And there was no other religion at that time that gave you a day of rest. You could easily work 7 days a week. So the definition of work that I read and I understood from the person that presented this list of things on the Mishnah, the definition of work seems to be tied to exercising authority over nature. Okay? The definition of work, a man cannot demonstrate his mastery over nature because he invades the province of God. God has control and dominion over all of creation 7 days a week. He delegated to us 6 days to work and exercise control over his creation. So when we work on the Sabbath, which he has retained for himself, we are invading his providence, especially when he tells us to rest and worship him on that day. And it's very interesting. Now, just a couple of points I want to point out, which you guys, I know we were talking about. Anyway, remember, folks, that the real first illustration we saw of working on Sabbath was when Moses said you are going to get 6 days of manna. And he said the sixth day will have 2 days in it. You were to pick up enough manna for 2 days.
Right.
Yep.
You were not to go out and pick up any manna on the Sabbath. You were to rest. That there is called caring, or we call it caring. The idea that if we do not carry anything at all, we relinquish ownership of everything to God. In other words, so when we rest on the Sabbath, and by the way, I've had to work on Sunday shift, so I know, it, again, we believe this is an exception rule. If you have to work on Sunday, or the day you consider the Sabbath, I believe God will forgive you for it if you don't want to do that. It's what's in your heart. Sometimes we have to do that. So anyway, the main sign of ownership here was, and the way we show God we love him very much is we relinquish ownership of everything we would do on the Sabbath or the other 6 days a week. Okay? Everything belongs to God. So we do not carry anything. Now, this is from the Mishnah. Do not carry, if you're following the direct rules and all these 39 things, carrying is the biggest one. That's why I want to just talk about that just for a second. You do not carry anything from outside into your house on the Sabbath. You do not carry anything inside your house to the outside. Now, here's where it gets fun. You cannot carry your car keys out. You cannot carry a pocketbook out. A lady can't carry a purse or wallet. You can't carry your money. And many times, of course, we talked about this, we hit on this every once in a while, that you can only walk so many steps to your synagogue, right, guys?
Yep.
So here again, the idea is many today Orthodox Jews live within a certain number of steps from their synagogues, whether it's in Meyerland, whether it's in the Braeswood area, Fondren. And I thought, okay, since I'm telling you this, these particular real strict rules, I'm going to tell you a paradox that's kind of funny. At least to me, it's kind of funny. In Leviticus 23:24, God requires one of the six celebrations called the Feast of the Trumpets. It's Rosh Hashanah. We've all heard it. Many New Year. Folks, and I know mm-hmm. all of you have heard it. Mm-hmm. It's the Jewish New Year. And God commands them to blow the trumpet on the Rosh Hashanah, on the New Year, to celebrate it. It's the sounding of the trumpet. So, Rosh Hashanah, however, the Sanhedrin declared an ordinance where they don't play the shofar anymore or blast a trumpet. Now, this is, from what I see, a direct contravention to what I just
said. So, the Sanhedrin, didn't this in the Roman times or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. No, this goes way back. Mm-hmm. So they said, you cannot blow the shofar anymore. We don't want you to blow the shofar anymore, because what if one of the synagogues drops it or breaks it or they lose it and can't find it? Somebody would have to carry a shofar from their house to the synagogue without one.
This is a great illustration of what happens when you start encumbrancing things with rules, because then you run into ifs. Well, what if you do this? You know, you've been on committees. You ever been, you know, in these governance, you especially, Robert, these governance committees of policies. Okay, what do we do? What if?
It's called managing risk.
What if we lose the shofar or bend it or drop it?
Yeah.
Or it doesn't work? Well, we have to carry it. Now, really, this is what you guys have just been talking. Well, the Lord has the letter of the law, and he has the spirit of the law. And you guys have mentioned that in the last podcast.
Kyle and I share a unique position. We have both been presidents of the Homeowners Association. We're on the board of the Homeowners Association. My experience of Homeowners Association, and Kyle, feel free to back me up or tell me I'm crazy, is there's two kinds of people that get on homeowners associations. Mm-hmm. The first one is the person that generally wants to do good for their community. They are few and far between. Amen. The other person, all five of us here,
if we were on HOAs, we'd be exemplary.
The other ones are the ones that get on the HOA, that you paint your house and they come up and they go, well, your shade of gray is not the correct shade of gray. This is the correct shade of gray. Because they're so tight, they forget the whole purpose of a homeowners association. And for those of you who don't know, in the city of Houston, there's no zoning. The whole purpose of a homeowners association is to try to help you maintain your property values. I'm going to tell you a little secret. A darker shade of gray compared to a lighter shade of gray on the house next to you is not going to affect your property value. I promise you that. But it's one of those deals where, am I right? If people get so wrapped up in the legal part, they forget the purpose of it.
Well, for your exact point, I've been a realtor, mm-hmm. real estate broker, and I've been a property tax reduction specialist. So I've tried to get more money than the house may be worth. Not necessarily, but I mean, you know, get top dollar if you're working for the seller. I've also been on the other side of it, where I'm working for the buyer and I try to get the lowest absolute dollar. And then I've been the guy trying to argue your taxes down. And I'm using the information from both of those sides of other realtors to make that point. Never once did I argue the color of somebody's home.
Yeah.
Unless it was like avocado green or that mustard yellow or the most bright blue you can ever see. And you say, this is what's next to this guy's home. oh God, their whole values just went down because of that one, not because gray versus gray. Never something
but,
so simple.
But it's one of those that, and I think Jesus said it right, because what did Jesus say? He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was made so that we would stop and reflect. And I am going to have a confession. If I have to work on a weekend for work, I come to church, I do the church thing, but if I have to work on a weekend, I work on Sunday, not Saturday. I take Saturday as my shutdown. I'm not doing anything day. I do my worship on Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon about 4 o'clock or so, I'll log in if I have to get some stuff done and do it then, because I'm already, quote unquote, having to get out and do things for that day. You know, but it's one of those, like you said, it's the spirit of the law that I think you have to really look at here. And I think, Mike, you know, that was the greatest example ever of oh my gosh, y'all changed it from this because you're worried. Let's see, we're not going to celebrate the way the Bible commanded us to because we're worried we're going to make some stupid rule that we made up about having to carry a horn in case the synagogue broke their horn. What?
Well, I think the thing about it is that, you're making these rules to make people worship and to make people be reverent, as opposed with you yourself being reverent and you yourself exercising corporate worship. We're in Houston, Texas, or actually in Sugarland, but some of the older fellas remember the blue laws, and what we had in Houston were on Sunday, there were certain areas of a store that would be roped off that you couldn't buy.
Most stores were closed. Grocery stores were open, but it was
small town, they were closed.
By the way,
I'm the youngest, and I definitely remember.
See, we didn't have them in Michigan. Liquor stores were closed. But that was a whole store. That wasn't.
Yeah.
But the regular stores didn't have any areas that were roped off. When I moved here, that's where I experienced the blue laws. But that's forcing people to be something that maybe they're not. Whereas by observing the Sabbath, that is a personal experience. When you're doing it and when you're making, you're forcing the population to do it.
While you're on that, I looked at some information on the blue law, and I thought you guys might enjoy this as well.
I read some stuff on that the other day.
Oh, you did?
First of all,
the U.S. Supreme Court still supports it.
Really?
As they said, it's beneficial to both the secular world and to the religious world, because it forces a day of rest or physical rest and restoration. That's essentially what they say. But I'll tell you what, regarding culture, most of the states have gotten rid of it. I think 14 have at least a form of left. For instance, you cannot buy a car on Sunday, or you can buy a car on Sunday and not Saturday. And the same thing, of course, with packaged drinks or packaged alcohol, right? You guys.
Yeah,
okay. You still cannot.
There's still forms of blue law.
Yeah, so it's still forms existing. Well, one guy did. He says, we did a study, and he says regarding the culture, the impact of banishing blue laws could be larger. A study in New Mexico in 2006 found that there was a sharp increase in drunken driving on Sundays after the state dropped Sunday on alcohol sales.
That's an interesting statistic.
And then a broader study published by MIT and Notre Dame economists in 2008 found that the repeal of blue laws led to decreased church attendance, decreased donations to the churches, and increased alcohol and drug use among religious individuals.
I know. Well, with that, let's go ahead and let's take our second break. Man up, we will be right back.
Saturday, Donnie, is Shabbos, the Jewish day of rest. That means I don't work. I don't drive a car. I don't fucking ride in a car. I don't handle money. I don't turn on the oven. And I sure as shit don't fucking roll.
Sheesh.
Shabbos.
You are listening to the Man Up Podcast, spiritual oasis for men. Just like any muscle, we feel the faith muscle must be exercised. And here we do it real authentic, the Man Up way. Not pastors, just regular guys, each on a unique spiritual journey. Thanks for joining us. Deep questions and discussions you won't hear anywhere else, especially in today's climate. Missed an episode? They are archived. Free for you to select on SoundCloud. We come to you from the Man Up Studios at Sugarland Baptist Church, Sugarland, Houston, Texas, in the United States. Have a question or comment, or want to book a speaker or group and have Man Up come to you? Contact us on our Facebook page, Gigmasters, or WMACox@comcast.net. And now, back to fellows of Man Up.
And welcome back. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men, podcast number 208. And we were just talking about the blue laws.
I do know a couple of things. In fact, here in Texas, I think the bill was at the legislature this term. Mm-hmm. They wanted to push. You still cannot buy liquor before noon on Sunday in the state. Mm-hmm. The bill was going to push that back to 10 a.m., partly because generally here in the Central Time Zone, kickoff is noon.
That is correct.
But that is exactly why the blue laws ended in Arizona. My parents were living there. They can sell liquor starting, I believe, at 9 or 10 a.m. because at least part of the year they are in the Pacific Time Zone. They don't use daylight savings time. They're way ahead of thinking on that. But foot kickoff, the East Coast kickoffs to them was about 10 a.m. That's when you can buy liquor in Arizona, and that's what pushed it. The other side of the coin, again, also it was a Texas issue. It was, and I haven't been in the car market, so you can tell me if it still is, if they still bar car sales on Sunday. The big problem was cars.com. People were able to buy online. Yep. And the first reaction, this being Texas and very, very hard business, local business oriented, the legislator tried to shut down online car sales in Texas on Sundays. But since that was interstate commerce, they really couldn't do it. I think they loosened up at least. I think a good example is Chick-fil-A. Now, let's go out and
Hobby
point.
Lobby.
Let's point, yeah. And Hobby Lobby, but yeah. Point. But I want to point to Chick-fil-A because they make a big thing about not being open on Sundays, and they still are what, the number two or three. They're behind McDonald's, number two or three fast food chain in the country. Yeah. In
a
terms of sales,
part of that too. Not only are they not open on Sundays, but on malls where they are not open on Sundays, they actually pay a penalty to the mall because they are closed that day.
And so there's that does not seem to hurt them in the marketplace. And so they do some witnessing through that.
Very interesting point. And you know what? I found what I thought was the latest information on the U.S. Supreme Court and everything. If anybody out there, anybody finds something different,
did any blue laws make it that high, or were they just all repealed on the state level? I mean,
Maryland. That was back in 1961.
Oh, okay. That was the last.
I wanted information,
it took us 200 podcasts, but we finally got the judge to give us a court reference.
I've been waiting for a long time on that.
200.
He wants us to refute it, but
question here might be the reason Amazon and you can still buy online is the fact that you don't have to go anywhere.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Which is what you're
saying. It's
rest.
They don't have to logging on the keyboard is okay. The Mishnah was written.
That's right. Great story at the beginning of the lesson where he talked about every time they went into the elevator on Sabbath on Shabbat.
In Israel,
it stopped at every floor. They were at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, or Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And it would stop at every floor. Why? Because nobody was allowed to push a button that day. So,
well, they were respecting that.
But it really is, and I think this comes down to it. you know, as we're getting close, it really is what Jesus said, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is there to remind us, first of all, that it's a pause to remind us that God created the universe. A pause to remind ourselves that there is an all-powerful God that created everything and that later sent his son to sacrifice for us. That's the purpose of it, from God's perspective. The second purpose and why God created it for us is that the Sabbath is there so that we can remember to unplug, and I'm going to use that word, unplug. You know, put your phone down. Turn your electronics off. Mm-hmm. Take a day where you sit back and don't do those things, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Saturday. Take a day for yourself. It's funny, one of the things the last year my wife and I have started camping again. We made an investment in a travel trailer again. And it is hilarious how much more productive at work I am now, because about once a month we haul off for a weekend somewhere and I go sit in the woods and I cook wild food over the fire. Sorry. Yeah, I was cooking over fire. Sorry, I got excited.
And the amount of work that you have to do to get that trailer someplace
doesn't stress
you out or anything, Robert?
It does not. It stresses my wife out too.
Okay.
My wife needs to, I need practice backing, I admit it, but my wife also needs to learn how to direct backing up. That's another conversation. But to sit, you know, go somewhere after it's hooked up and everything, to literally sit, go walk in the woods a little bit, where we were over Memorial Day weekend, we actually had no cell service where we were, which was
excellent.
What the heck?
No, that's actually a good. I hope you wrote that down and go back to that.
Oh, no, we will. Right. We will. We actually will. For that reason. But it's amazing, though, just to circle back, it's amazing how much more productive at work I am, mm-hmm. because I did manage to sit back and not do anything.
Excellent. Let's go ahead. As we come down to the end of Podcast 208, get some final thoughts from the panel. Kyle Tran.
You know, I'm glad that we don't have to adhere to all the craziness, you know, not to be able to bring some, carry something outside or inside. You know, because it is about thinking of God. And I think in any way that helps you to do that is what that recharge and give the Sabbath to the Lord. So, like, I like to cook and I like to garden, you know. Cooking centers me, you know. I don't want to run out and be a chef. I had that opportunity once and I thought I didn't want to do it all day and come home and not want to cook at home because I like to cook for the family. But Sunday is that day that you can get into something a little more complicated. You know, you don't finish work until 6 or, you know, 5, 6 o'clock, and then, you know, you got to start dinner and it's a 3 to 4 hour cook time. Those are generally reserved for a Sunday. You know, gardening. I'll get out there and put plants in the yard or, you know, tend to, you know, what's there. And I think of the Garden of Eden. Man was put there to do what? Tend the garden. Now, back in that day, I don't know exactly what the rules were to have been. Are you supposed to have done that for the first 6 days and, you know, whatever and whatever. But, you know, that stuff really centers me and makes me think of the beauty and what God created here on this earth. And if I can help make my yard look anything like what the Garden of Eden did, of course, I'd need a whole lot more flowers and plants and probably animals in my yard. But, you know, I went to a funeral the other day, and this kind of hit home as it was on Monday when we had studied this lesson on Sunday. And it was a friend, colleague, and a client of mine. So I knew this lady very well. And she liked to garden. you know, talking to her husband about something. He goes, oh, yeah, she would grow this. Oh, she would grow that. And there was a thing on the little scrolling pictures and all that, and there was this little poem that come up by Alfred Alston that says, the glory of gardening, hands in the dirt, head in the sun, heart with nature. To nurture a garden is to feed not only the body, but the soul.
Excellent. And with that, we're coming down to the end. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men. On behalf of our producer, Mr. Steve Kitsch, Kyle Trahan, Michael Cropper, and the professor, Robert Koshy, my name is Bill Cox. It's been great having you here. So whether you found us on SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, our website, which is at man-upspiritualoasis.com or pray.com. We're so glad you did. And Sugarland Baptist Church has opened up, but if your church has not, log on to sugarlandbaptist.org at 9:45, and there is the Baptist streaming service. So you have a chance to worship with the Baptists here in Sugarland. And if you're ever in our area, now that we are opened up, don't hesitate to stop by for the Man Up Men ABF Adult Bible Fellowship. But we want to encourage each and every one of you to join a local Bible-based church. Why local? So you'll go. Go participate. Get in a small group, kind of like what we have here, and find one that's men only. And if there is one, start one. This is Men Up!
Shabbos Shabbos!
You've been listening to Man Up.
You've got answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man-Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.